Matthew chapter 1. Maybe turn me down just a little bit, Brother Dana. You all know I don't need that much volume. All right. If you found your place in Matthew chapter 1, would you stand with us in reading of the Word of God? We'll begin reading in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, and starting in verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled." Notice that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called him Jesus." Let us pray. Father, we are thankful again, Lord, for what you've already done today. God, you lifted our hearts and our spirits. Lord, the time of prayer, the time of Sunday school, the time and lift up our voices in song. God, we've been encouraged through that. Lord, we ask you now if you'd help us to focus on the message at hand. Help us to focus on the scriptures. Lord, we need your help today. Lord, I do pray for that one who's never come to a saving knowledge of you. You convict them of their need for salvation. Lord, be with a Christian who needs help and encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jim was leaving church after Christmas service one morning when the pastor greeted him and said, "Jim, it's time you join the army of the Lord. We need to see you every Sunday." He said, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor," Jim replied. "Then why do we only see you on Christmas and Easter?" Jim looked to the right and to the left and leaned over to whisper, "I'm in the Secret Service." I'm glad this morning, friends, that you are not in the Secret Service concerning the army of the Lord. In fact, the reason that you're here today probably is an indication that you're not. Most of the time you would see that on the Sunday before Christmas of that week, but you're here today, beginning part of December. Now, in light of that, it is a certain time of season, of course. We know that Jesus is the reason for the season, but this morning we got some things that I believe that I hope and pray will be a help to you and encouragement to you, and it's our desire to do that today. Understand that since the beginning of creation, shortly after God created the world and God created man and woman, sin entered into the world. Sin, unfortunately, came in and caused a problem. In fact, if you'll go with me, I want to look at a scripture here in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to look in Matthew chapter 5. You're going to see a problem, and then we're going to look at a solution. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read verses 12. I want you to see a problem here, and then we'll share a few thoughts about that more in just a moment. Matthew 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man," talking about Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You know, moms and dads, you never had to teach your children how to sin. It's in their nature to do so. They by nature are sinners. By nature, we are born sinners. That's a problem. "For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, but who is in the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if though the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace by which is one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as though it was by one then sin, so is the gift, for the judgment which was one to condemnation, but is the free gift and many offenses unto justification. Now notice these next few verses. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more which they have received the abundance of the grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace, thank God, did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. All we have read there is a contrast of Adam bringing sin into the world, and then Jesus, even more through his righteousness, bringing the gift of salvation to us. Understand, and even in the context that we read just a moment ago, for he shall save his people from their sins. In this particular moment, this was a prophetic statement. And that's exactly what it was. So what I'm saying is that the problem, church, was sin. The solution was Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you and I. See, the problem with sin is that it brings forth death. In fact, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. So that is simply the consequence that is described in the Word of God as a result of our sin. But I'm glad the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, right? We know that that is the gift through him. The Bible also tells us, for by grace are we saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. This is the kind of time of year where everybody's in gift thinking mode, and you're thinking about getting gifts for loved ones and thinking about what you want to do. Friend, there's no greater gift that you can receive today or have received but the gift of salvation. The greatest gift that you can get if you never have received that gift is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So understand, as we get into the message, it's important to understand, why did Jesus come? It wasn't just so that we could have a nice nativity scene, friends. It wasn't just so that we can have somebody to sing about. Friend, there was a problem, and God had a solution for the problem. Understand, that is why Jesus came to die. There was a question one time asked. This lady was walking the streets and had seen somebody with a display and asked, what is the meaning of Christmas? And somebody not sure said, I don't know, Jesus, this is when Jesus came to die. Well, of course, we know Christmas is more in reference to his birth, but there is actually some truth in that. He came to earth to die for you and I. Amen? And so we know that the Bible says that. But understand, friend, the whole reason why he came is because there was a problem, and God had a solution. So as we get into the scripture just a little bit more, let me give you a couple more thoughts, and then we'll move on from that. In Galatians 4:4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law. Hebrews 9:26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So we know that Christ put away sin, 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son for what? To be the Savior of the world. Okay? So we see there the solution, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about the season and we even start to think about the reason and the purpose, we start to even back up some in the Word of God and start to look at some of the prophecy of Christ, understand that the first prophecy that we really see of the Lord Jesus Christ was actually there in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Would you look at that with me? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So number one today, as we think about the purpose of Christ, the reason that he came down to earth, or the prophecy, or as we read, that it might be fulfilled, that is in reference to a fulfillment of prophecy. There was a need for Christ. The Bible tells us here, and that's what we were just describing for. In fact, if you read in the first part of that chapter, we see that is exactly where sin was introduced to the world. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and after God had came down and had already spoke to Eve, and then he spoke to Adam, and of course, everyone was playing the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it, right? That's kind of the world that we live in, where we just haven't learned to really take responsibility for our own actions. It's always somebody else's fault. Let me just help you a little bit, friend. When you, just in life in general, when you start to take responsibility for your own actions, that's when you can actually start to get something done. Amen? As far as spiritually speaking, friend, hey, we're sinners by nature. It was passed upon us. It's unfortunate. But hey, the only solution is when you come to Jesus Christ and confess your sin, ask God for forgiveness of your sins. That's the only solution for you and I. But there was a reason that God sent him to be the Savior of the world, because number one, there was a need. And the need was as a result of that sin. Amen? I know this is part of the story that we don't always hear about, that we don't always hear talked about. This is a season that oftentimes we gather together at Christmas, and we don't even understand the real reason of why we celebrate. Understand that the main objective and purpose is not the giving and receiving of gifts. That's actually really nothing to do with the birth of Christ. Now, it's nice to do that. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just telling you and reminding you that this is a season to remember why he actually came. And the reason why he came is because there was a problem and a solution. So number one today, church, we have to establish the reason Jesus came is because there was a need. There was a need. You don't go to the doctor as far as a sickness is concerned unless you have a need. I don't know anybody here in this building that would be willing to succumb themselves to a chemo treatment. And maybe you've had to go through that terrible disease or experience that, or probably you know somebody. I'm confident of that. But who would voluntarily give themselves to that if there wasn't a problem? If there wasn't a need for it, if it wasn't said, hey, this is a give you a chance of survival, it's not something that I would want to experience. And I feel for those who have had to experience that before. Friend, I understand today, you may think that you have a different kind of need today. You may say, well, Pastor, I have a physical need, since you mentioned that. That may be true. You might have a financial need today that you need met. You might have a personal problem. You might have conflict in your home. You might be battling an addiction, and all that may be true. I'm not minimizing those needs. I'm just trying to tell you that the biggest need that you have today, Fred, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's no greater need in this world above the need for Christ. So what we see here is a prophecy of Christ, because sin had entered into the world, and there was a prophecy here given by God about the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's our greatest need today? Number one, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to earth because there was a need. The second reason we're going to look here in the Word of God is concerning the prophecies of Christ. Was number one, there was a need for Christ. Number two, let's observe the names of Christ. The names of Christ. Go to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. There's a lot of names of Christ. There's a lot of scripture that we could read in reference to that. I'm just really kind of focusing more on some of the prophetic ones here today, and we're not even exhausting that. Understand there's about 300 prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. We obviously don't have time to read every single one, right? Amen. But here is one concerning the names of Christ in Isaiah 9:6, and I love this text. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I like that word given, friend. I like that word given. You know what I did this morning? I woke up thankful for friends. Probably because at about 5:44 this morning, I had a text from a close personal friend of mine that just wanted to give some encouragement to me. And then just about an hour or so later after, there was another one that didn't know. The other one had already sent me a message, just some encouragement to me. And then it reminded me of my friends. It reminded me of some things that were given. This watch, in fact, was one of those gifts that was given. It belonged to my friend Jim Enloe. He's gone home to be with the Lord. But a dear friend of ours, Miss Bonnie, wanted to gift that to me and said, I want you to have it. It's a precious gift to me. Not because of its monetary value, because of its sentiment behind it, right? So I can literally tell you that this watch right here was given to me. I say, well, what did you have to do to earn it, preacher? I didn't do a thing in the world to earn it. Well, what made you deserve it? Well, I probably wasn't always the best of friends to Jim, so I didn't deserve it either. There was a lot of good people that this watch could have went to, but it was chosen to be given to me. So when we're talking about here, and we read, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, do you realize the Lord Jesus Christ was given for you and I? What a precious gift to think that God sent His Son, but that He was also a gift to us, and I can't think of a greater gift. Now, this is a precious gift to me, but it's not nowhere near as precious as the gift of salvation, of what Jesus did for me, dear friend. You want to talk about gifts? Hey, friend, that's a son is given. And if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, hey, I have received that gift. Praise God. The Bible says, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These are not all the names of Christ. These are just a few. So when we think about the season, when we think about the purposes, we think about the prophecies, we establish first that there was a need for Christ. Second of all, we're referencing some of the names of Christ. We sang two songs today that reminded me about the name of Christ. You know, friend, that name Jesus matters. Isn't it interesting that you can talk about God in our society today, but you start specifically talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and people start to have problems with that. Amen? Yeah, we start to become narrow-minded because we believe that Jesus is the only way. The Bible says in John 14 and 6, I am the way, Jesus speaking, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do we believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Absolutely. According to the Word of God, Jesus is the only way to heaven. So that name Jesus means something. The names of Christ mean something. They matter. You know, the Bible also says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, friend, every single person in the history of mankind will one day confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, the big difference is whether you do it while you're still alive on earth or if you do it when it's too late, when you stand before God in judgment of God. The only thing that you will not be forgiven for, friend, is rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people come in and they say, well, Pastor, I'm such a sinner. God wouldn't love me. God wouldn't forgive me. God wouldn't save me. Friend, that's not true. The only thing that you will not be forgiven for is rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, friend, and you've never confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, I'm not saying, well, Pastor, I think that He is. There's a difference in thinking something and actually believing something and accepting something. The Bible tells us that even the devils believe and tremble. They're not saved. So it's not enough to have a knowledge of God. There's a lot of people that have a knowledge of God or maybe even a knowledge of Christ. But friend, a lot of people are going to miss heaven by about 18 inches. They have a head knowledge of Jesus, but not a heart knowledge of Jesus. And what I'm talking about is a time in your life where you've actually asked God to forgive you of your sins and asked God to come into your heart and save your soul. That's what I'm talking about, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Asking Him to be Lord of your life. So friend, understand that the name of Jesus in concerning prophecy, concerning purpose, concerning meaning matters. Number one, there was a need for Christ. Number two, we've observed briefly the names of Christ. Number three, let's talk a little bit about the narration of Christ. And when we say the narration, we're simply talking about His story. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, there's a couple important facts that we're observing here today. And again, these are not all of them. We don't have time to cover them all. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold a virgin. That is absolutely critical, friend. Christ was born a virgin birth. He was born of a virgin. Understand that some other versions of the Bible will put a handmaiden here. There's a difference between a maid and a virgin or a virgin. So there's a big difference in description. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. How was she conceived if she was a virgin? The Bible literally tells us she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. That is an unnatural conception. Okay? Unnatural conception. That is not like anything else we have ever seen in history. In fact, we read that here in Matthew chapter 1. So we know that, first of all, it's critical and important when we think about the narration or the prophecy, and part of the thing that makes Christ unique is that he was born of a virgin. We see it here talked about in this chapter. Verse 23 of chapter 1, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted, "God with us." So what we're seeing here, and of course this is still before he was born, but we are seeing a fulfillment of prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, don't let people convince you that Christ was not born of a virgin. Christ was born of a virgin. If you start to look at something else outside of the Bible, you can probably convince that, but it's critical. The other thing I want to point out concerning the narration of Christ is not just that he was born of a virgin, but also where he was born. Now, who knows where Christ was born? A couple of you do. Amen. All right, Micah 5:2. Did you realize that that was prophesied 700 years before he was born? Now, how long was it prophesied where you would be born, before you were born? At best, it would have been 9 months. That's if your parents had everything together and they already had a plan and they knew which hospital you were going to go in and you were going to be born in that hospital. So at best for us in 9 months, but understand that that did not come until after we were already conceived. This is 700 years before Christ was born. Let's look at what the Bible says. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Right? So when we think about the narration of Christ, we sing that little song, "O little town of Bethlehem." Friend, understand that this was prophesied of Christ, not just that he would be born of a virgin, but also that he would be born in Bethlehem. And of course, you read in the gospel, you'll read exactly, you can find throughout the Word of God, that's exactly where he was born. We've looked at this morning so far the need for Christ, the names of Christ, the narration of Christ. Let's talk for just a moment the nativity of Christ. Now, the nativity is in reference to his actual birth. In Isaiah 53:2, there's something that I want to share here with you. And then we're going to go over to Luke chapter 2. Dana, you probably don't have that one, but after Isaiah, we'll go to Luke chapter 2. In Isaiah 53:2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire of him." Understand that Christ came from a poor family, right? And if you were to actually see who Christ was, you know, there's all kinds of pictures of Christ. We don't exactly know. I believe that he was Middle Eastern. He was Hebrew, probably looked Middle Eastern, right? You know, sometimes there's pictures of blonde hair, blue eyes. I'm not saying it's not. We don't know. We weren't there. I'm just saying that he was from the Middle East. What I am saying is that, of course, according to the Bible, if you were to see him, you probably wouldn't like him. Just based on appearance. He hath no form nor comeliness, that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isn't it interesting, though, that if we were to see the devil, you would probably see him as a beautiful creation, yet he's wicked. You see, the Bible says that he is transformed into an angel of light. Angels, a cherub in particular, are known as being beautiful creations of God. Understand that that's who the devil was. He was an angel who rebelled against God, thought he would ascend his kingdom above God. In Isaiah chapter 14 or 7 or 14, I believe, you'll see that he decided that he was going to ascend above the Lord, and he was cast out of heaven. He is an actual beautiful creation. So all I'm saying is that looks can be deceiving, right? Probably why God's concerned more about the matters of the heart than what's on the outside. Right? That's literally a message for another day. But what I'm saying is that Christ came from a poor family. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. I want to show you a couple things. Luke chapter 2, we see the fulfillment, again, of prophecy here. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. You had to go back to your hometown. And Joseph went up out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into the Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So we see here that this is a fulfillment of the prophecy. We see there Bethlehem was mentioned. We see his birth, also described in Matthew chapter 1. But then also see that, hey, apparently not just there wasn't room, they weren't rich enough to be able to stay in the nicest places, right? That, you know, high class people in that day would have already had a place. Or if they were rich and they came into town, they would have said, hey, we got a special place for you. That was very traditional of the Jews. If you were to enter a house, they would lift you up in the upper rooms, right? Because you were high class. Apparently they weren't high class. Not only was there any room, but nobody would have taken them in. So they didn't come from rich family. Again, it's interesting that it talks about who Jesus is and some of the nativity of Christ and when he was born. He didn't come in being born a rich person, right? As far as from a monetary standpoint on the earth. So those are just a couple of other things. We're talking about the nativity of Christ. We'll see that fulfillment here. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time about the nails of Christ. The nails of Christ. Proverbs 22, verse 16. I'm going to read a few verses here for you. Psalms 22, verse 16. Psalms 22, 16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. This is another prophetic statement, church, that his hands and his feet would be pierced. They would be pierced with what? Nails. They would be pierced with nails. Can I share something with you, church? When Christ was on the cross, do you understand that it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross? Do you really think that three old rusty nails held Christ to the cross? I mean, Christ himself had proclaimed that, hey, if he wanted, there could have been legions of angels to come down and save him. He could have called on them at any time and asked for them to come down and take him down off that cross and spare him from all the suffering. In fact, probably even killed all those that were trying to cause harm to Christ. Do you know what kept him to the cross? Was you and I. Was you and I. Friend, we're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about one who was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. We're talking about a man who hungered at times in his life, but yet he had enough God in him to feed the 5,000. We're talking about a man who seen people die and wept, was man enough to weep over the death of Lazarus, but yet he was God enough to raise him from the dead. You see, that's who Jesus was. He was 100% man and 100% God. So when they prophesy that they pierced his hands and his feet, we're obviously thinking about the nails. But the picture of those nails, friends, when we think about that, was not because that's what held him to the cross. It was his love, Brother Danny, I heard it, his love for you and I that held him there. Do you realize the sacrifice that Jesus paid for you and I? Friend, we have a reason to rejoice today. We as Christians have a reason to be happy today. We as Christians have more than anybody else. The Bible even says we are not as others who have no hope. We as Christians have hope. I was sorry to hear about the loss of a friend's father yesterday, but I was glad to hear to know that he dwells in heaven this morning, or yesterday morning, as of yesterday morning, he's with the Lord. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Amen. But it's because of what Jesus did that made that possible. Let me also give you something else here in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all the faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. He will swallow up death in victory. You know, the Bible also says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So friend, when we think about this progression of things and the purpose of things, it started off with us understanding the need for Christ. In between, we've seen some prophetic statements about Christ that were true, that are critical to our foundation and our belief on who Jesus is. But friend, we take that back around and we think about the nails. Hey, friend, he was victorious over death. He defeated death. He rose again on the third day. Now, I realize today is not about Easter, but friend, that was the end result. The Bible tells us if there's no resurrection, then our preaching is in vain. If that wasn't true, I mean, it's good that he came down to be born so that he could be crucified to rise up again on the third day. But friend, if he had just been born and not crucified and not resurrected, then we wouldn't have a reason to sing today. It'd be kind of difficult for us to sing joy to the world if he hadn't went to the cross and suffered the way that he did for you and I. Friend, that is the greatest gift that we could ever be getting, was those nails that he suffered for you and I on the cross. You know, the Bible says that every good gift cometh from above. Do you realize that? You know, I know, getting back to the light of the season, there's gifts given, and you know, there'll be some things given to children. And they'll say, thanks, mom and dad, or whatever the case may be. Thank you, you know, whoever. But friend, the greatest gift cometh from above. And for the record, God made your parents or gave them the ability to do those things for you. So I believe they still come from above. I mean, if I'm able to bless my children, it's because God has blessed me. Amen? Are you with me on that? The fact that you can bless your family is the fact that God has blessed you. But friend, I'm trying to tell you today that the reason why we even had the season, the reason Christ even came down to earth, is because there was a need. And you and I were in need of a Savior. Let me finish with these quick verses. I'm going to read to you a few verses here. I share them with you often, but I wanted you to see them. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a reminder of the problem that we have, friends. According to the Bible, all of us here are sinners. Every single one here. Now, maybe you have sinned differently than me. Maybe you have other sin, and maybe I have other sin. But the fact is, friend, every single one of us here are sinners. Then we read, that's the problem. And part of that problem is there's a consequence. In chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the problem, there's a solution. There's a problem of death, but you see, the gift is through Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures is found in Romans 5, 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's another reminder of the nails of the cross that he did for you and I. His love toward us. Christ died for us. So, Pastor, what does a person have to do to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? It's really not complicated, friend. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. A lot of people have confessed who Jesus is, but not believed in their heart. Going back to that head knowledge, lack of heart knowledge. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That tells us what we simply have to do. And then the last thing tells us who is qualified. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know that whosoever is, friend, that's you and you. And you, every single one of you that's here today, I've literally heard people say, I don't think that God can save me. Friend, you are that whosoever. There's no greater sin in your life that he cannot save. Did you remember that scripture where sin did abound? Grace did much more abound. That means that the grace of God is bigger than any sin that you could possibly have. Yes, sir. So friend, if you want to talk about getting the best gift ever, would you receive the gift of salvation? Because there's no greater gift that you could have today. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. As my wife plays, friend, the altar is open. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Friends, this morning, every single one of us here has a need. I believe that. Even if you've already been saved and trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you still got needs. We still need Jesus today. We still need His help. We still need His wisdom. We still need His guidance. We still need His protection. And I don't just mean as we drive around in cars. We need a spiritual protection around us. We need Jesus, and we are nothing without Him. But friend, if you're here today and you've never received the gift of salvation, friend, can I take a minute to pray for you? Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never really heard it explained that way. I've never realized such a need to receive Jesus in a personal way. And if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I've received the gift of salvation. Would you pray for me? Would you just allow me to pray for you for just a moment, friends? I won't embarrass you. Just slip up your hand real quick and put it back down. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking around. Just slip up your hand and put it back down. Say, Preacher, I'm not sure I've received the gift of salvation. Anybody? Just slip up your hand real quick and put it back down. I'll not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Would you allow me to do that for you? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm just going to pray for you. Anybody else? Maybe there's someone here today say, Preacher, I've got other needs, personal needs, spiritual needs. I've been saved, but would you pray for me, Preacher? Anybody? Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. You may put them down. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. Church, I'm going to pray, but we are not dismissed yet. Please remain standing with your heads bowed and eyes closed after prayer. Father, we come to you now. And Lord, we are truly thankful, Lord, that there was a problem, a sin problem, but God, you have a solution. The Scriptures tell us that you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. Lord, He's our solution. We're glad to know that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Lord, I come to you today heavy-hearted and burdened. Many have lifted their hands this morning for different needs. And Lord, it looked like there was one or two that lifted their hand for salvation. Not sure if they've received the gift, the greatest gift of all. Lord, you know who they are. And God, I pray that you convict them of their need for salvation. Lord, I can't think of a better time or day or place than to go ahead and receive you as their personal Savior. And God, I pray that you'd help them to know that today is the day of salvation. Lord, speak to their hearts in a special way. Convict them of their need. Lord, several also lifted their hands saying they have a different kind of need, a special need. Lord, they've already received you, but Lord, they have other needs in their lives. God, you know what those needs are. I pray that somehow, some way you would intervene, that you would do a work that only you can do. And Lord, as we still have this time of invitation, God, I pray that you would just continue to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, would you remain standing with your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? Can I ask a special favor, in particular of those first that are part of this church already? If you lifted your hand for a special need, would you just come down to the altar for just a moment and just pray and ask God to help you meet that need? Several are coming. Several are coming. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come down and get on your knees before the Lord. Can we have just a special time of prayer? Hey, listen, God is in the needs fulfillment business. In the needs fulfillment business today. Do you remember our scripture that said that all this was done that it might be fulfilled? Can you imagine having a sickness and there's a prescription that is given to you and I by the doctor, you take that prescription to the pharmacy and they fulfill your prescription, or they call it filling your prescription. Can I remind you today, dear friend, that we have a sin-sick problem, and God wrote out a prescription for you and I, and that prescription was Jesus Christ. Friend, would you allow Him to come and fulfill that in your life today? Several have already come to the altar with special needs. Nobody's still looking around. Listen, if you lifted your hand for salvation today, would you come forward and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? There's no greater thing that you could do today. Would you just come forward for just a moment and let us just take a couple minutes and show you from the Word of God? Would you come? If that's you today, friend, if you lifted your hand for salvation, would you come? Would you come? There's no greater thing that we can do for you today, friend. Hey, listen, friend, it's not worth the risk. It's not worth the risk. Can I tell you? When I spoke to my friend yesterday morning, she was broken. And she said, "Pastor, I'm having a hard time because the doctor said that he was well. The doctor said that he was well. The doctor said that everything was fine. And then he woke up this morning and had a heart attack. And he was gone just like that. Didn't get a chance to say goodbye." Oh, friend, you just don't know. You just don't know. Say, "Preacher, I'll do it another time." You don't know that you'll have another time. We don't know that you'll get another opportunity. Today is the day of salvation, friend. Friend, if that's you today, would you come? Would you come? Get it settled today. Would you come? Here comes one. Here comes one.
If you'd grab a songbook and turn to page 153, "I Surrender All." All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Church, just a second. We have a very special man here up here with us today. This is Justin. Justin, can you tell the church what you did this morning, my friend?
Sub to God again.
Amen. He received the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior today. Thank you, buddy. Thank you very much. Make sure you get by. Something I spoke with him again. He's struggled, but he came by today to get assurance and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And make sure you get by and encourage this man. This is the first time I've got to meet him. Amen. And you know what? We had a bond with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. In that the Lord spoke to his heart, and we were able to show him from the Scripture. Amen. That's what the Lord can do. That's what God can do. Hey, and Olivia, let me see your toy again. You see, friends, this is what happens. Jesus can take that and turn it and transform your life into that.
Amen. That's
Jesus
right.
Puts a smile on my face, friend. Amen. Listen, been a good day in the Lord's house. I hate to dismiss services like this, so we're not. We're going to just adjourn until 5 o'clock tonight and just continue to have church tonight. Would that be okay with everybody? Yes, do me a favor. Get by and welcome Justin to the family of God. You get by and encourage him. Love on him. Tell him that you're going to pray for him and do it. Amen. And just encourage this new brother in the Lord. Let me ask Brother Tuck, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, brother, please?
Dear Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for answering our prayers. I know there was people that were asking for the heart that you were calling today to come to you, Lord. And we just give you thanks, God. Thank you so much, Lord, because all this happens because you love us first, God. We couldn't do any of this, Lord, unless you loved us first. You took care of this for us, Lord. You made the way. Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Thank you for letting us come to you. Thank you so much. Lord, I pray for a blessing upon all the people that have attended church today, Lord, a blessing upon their hearts and minds, that you've hid things in their hearts, that you would bring that to remembrance today, Lord, in the week to come, and bring them back again tonight and Wednesday and next Sunday, Lord. Lord, thank you for holding us together by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.